My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Turns out corporate America is still very into having a diverse workforce and diverse suppliers. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, federal regulators are increasing oversight of some of the most active buyers and sellers of stocks and bonds. The Securities and Exchange Commission has now approved new rules. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer explains.
Under the new rules, firms like hedge funds that regularly trade in things like stocks and U.S. government bonds will have to register as broker-dealers. That means more oversight from government agencies like the SEC. The firms will also have to keep a minimum amount of capital as a cushion, report data to regulators, and keep books and records. In a statement, SEC Chair Gary Gensler says this is common sense, adding that, quote, Congress did not intend for registration and regulatory requirements to apply to some dealers and not to others. The SEC wants to level the playing field so that all firms doing the same types of trading will be regulated the same way. Industry groups don't like the new regulations, though. They say some firms will stop trading to avoid them, and they could sue to stop the rules from going into effect. The SEC says the new regulations will become effective 60 days after being published in the Federal Register, and firms will have a year to comply. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Disney, Fox, Warner Brothers, Discovery are combining forces to provide one place to stream a range of pro and college sports. This is an effort to appeal to people who cut their cable TV cords but who still want to watch games live. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
The three media conglomerates plan to share an equal stake in a separate company they will create, similar to the early days of Hulu. The companies intend to bundle 15 traditional sports TV channels, including Fox Sports and ESPN, and offer games from professional football, basketball, baseball, hockey, and soccer, as well as NASCAR, collegiate sports, and more. Sports is a key revenue source for live television, but licensing rights have grown increasingly expensive. No word on the name for the new service or how much it will cost consumers, many of whom are already suffering from subscription fatigue. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
A weekly report from a company that does office key fobs and key cards finds Back to the Office has reached a new high since pandemic hit. Castle, with a K's, Back to Work Barometer shows Chicago occupancy up at 56.4%, Dallas up at 59.4%. New York was down a bit last week to 51%. Hey, that wasn't me. I came in most days. However, that is still half of us not coming in, unnerving those who hold investment portfolios full of commercial real estate. Now, this includes some regional banks. At a hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said she believes the problem is, quote, manageable, but she acknowledged that some institutions are quite, quote, stressed by the problem. Stock in one regional bank, New York Community Bancorp, lost more than a third of its value this month.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
By and large, conservative and liberal, company executives overwhelmingly support initiatives to increase diversity, equity, and inclusion at their firms. This is from a new survey out last night conducted by Morning Consult for the Public-Private Strategies Institute. Reading recent headlines with a few prominent people pushing back against diversity and inclusion, these results may come as a surprise. Ying McGuire is president and CEO of the National Minority Supplier Development Council, which is one of the partner organizations in this survey project. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, David.
Some high-profile people, including activist investor Bill Ackman to Tesla and ex-boss Elon Musk, have been saying aloud that diversity campaigns are, they think, bad for society and business. Now, you have a survey of a wider array of businesses. What are these executives telling you?
What we're hearing is 82% of the senior executives that participate in the survey consider diversity initiatives, they're essential to their business strategy. So the survey finding, which I talk about the facts, are encouraging and not what we expected based on headlines.
So, I mean, businesses working to reduce chances that their culture or their systems are discriminatory, that may be driven by the moral imperative. It's the right thing to do. But you're hearing about also the business case, that it can actually help the bottom line.
It is absolutely business driven. In my case, we focus on incorporating diverse businesses in the corporate supply chain. It tend to have better business outcomes.
And just so people fully understand, supply diversity, it's a choice companies have when deciding with whom they'll do business.
It is absolutely true. It's give everybody equal opportunity to compete. It's not handout.
I want to ask, does it still break along traditionally partisan lines? CEO A is a conservative, not into diversity, equity, and inclusion. CEO B, liberal, all for it? Or is that not what you found?
The survey did find intense support across ideological and political persuasions. In fact, 75% of executives who described themselves as politically conservative said diversity initiatives are essential to their business strategy, and it's in direct contradiction to the assertion by some saying diversity is inherently a partisan topic. And this just goes to show it's not really about politics. Diversity is simply good business.
Ying McGuire, President and CEO of the National Minority Supplier Development Council, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, David.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.